the things that we need to take heed as to how we hear and what we hear. Thank you for the word of God and for your blessing for Brother Craig as he brings us the word this morning, and pray that it might find lodging in our hearts and lives, that we might do your will throughout the week. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Mitch. Well, in our passage this morning, actually right in the middle of our passage this morning, verse 18, Jesus gives us the reason for what he has just said, including the parable of the sower and the soils, which we looked at last week. In fact, what we find here appears to be a parable that Jesus repeated on a number of occasions. That's what we're going to be looking at this morning. A parable that it appears that Jesus repeated on a number of occasions. It's recorded twice in the Gospel of Luke. It's recorded, at least in part, twice in the Gospel of Matthew, and on seemingly differing occasions. So this may have been a parable that Jesus repeated often. And the theme of the parable is, take heed how you hear. Take heed how you hear. That's actually our topic this morning. Specifically, take heed how you hear God's word. Jesus talked often about that specifically. Earlier in this chapter, he did it in the parable of the sower and the seeds. He did it in Matthew 11:15. He said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He also says that exact phrase 8 times in the book of Revelation. In Matthew 15:10, when he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear and understand. In John 5:24, Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment. In John 8:47, he said, he who is of God hears God's words. Take heed how you hear. Now, for those of us who are married or have been married, I think we've lived a prime example of this admonition. Take heed how you hear. We who have been married know that there are various ways that we can hear our spouse, or maybe better put, not hear our spouse. As I was shopping for a motorcycle, I would tell Janine about the different ones that I was looking at. I would tell her all of the pros and cons of each one. And in the midst of the conversation, I would just see her eyes kind of glaze over. All right. And then I would ask her what she thought, and she would say, I don't know. And she didn't, because she wasn't listening. She didn't hear what I was talking about. On the flip side, there have been times when where Janine would say, are you ready to do so-and-so? And I would say, what do you mean? And she would say, well, yesterday we talked about doing so-and-so. And notice I'm calling it so-and-so because I still don't remember what it was. So we have to take heed how we hear. And really, how we hear, in particular, how we hear one another, how we hear God's word will become evident. It will become evident. Time will tell whether we were listening or not. And that really is what our passage is all about. Except when God speaks, it will be about something exceedingly more important than motorcycles and so-and-sos. All right? And so that we will take heed how we hear God's word. We're actually given three evidential attributes of sincerely listening with purpose. These things will be evidences that we are actually listening to what God has to say, that we're actually hearing what God has to say. Take heed how you hear is our subject. And the very first evidence that we've sincerely and purposefully heard is true hearers will be sharers of God's word. True hearers of God's word will be sharers of God's word. I don't know, every now and then, and it doesn't happen all of the time, but as I'm even doing my daily devotions, as I spend time, just me and God in God's word, He will teach me something that I just can't keep to myself. And I will, the next person I see, oftentimes I will tell them, this is what God showed me this morning. Well, true hearers will be sharers of God's word. Janine and I are learning that if we want to be sure that the other person has truly heard us, we must affirm that they have. Okay, we must make sure that the other person acknowledges what we've said. In fact, I've said it, now repeat it back to me. Okay, and so with God's word, repeating what we've just heard is an awesome practice. In fact, true hearers will be sharers of God's word. When it comes to God's word, as we learn, we will express to others what we've learned. We will want, true hearers will want, everyone to know what God's word just said. And we'll be able to repeat it. Jesus teaches this in parable form, beginning in verse 16. Luke chapter 8, verse 16, he says, "No one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under his bed, but sets it on a lampstand that those who enter may see the light." Of course, this reminds me, like it might remind some of you, of that childhood song, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." And the light of a lamp from this era was really, it was very small, and it was a personal light. It would be roughly equivalent to a candle, just a single small flame. And so no one would ever light a lamp like this and then cover it with a bowl or put it under their bed. There's no logic in that. It completely defeats the purpose. Well, the Word of God is not meant to be masked, okay, covered up, hidden away. It's not just for us. It's not meant to be obscured or concealed. Again, there's no logic in that. It defeats the purpose. The Word of God is to give light to everyone who's in its presence. In fact, right in the beginning of this letter that Luke wrote, he said, "I'm writing this to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." The Word of God is not meant to be masked. Also, the Word of God is meant to be manifest. The reason we light a lamp is to utilize it to its fullest ability. In a dark room, we put it in a place where it will benefit all that are in the room. In Matthew 10:27, Jesus said, "Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops." So as we learn things, we might learn something even this morning, right between you and God in the privacy of your own heart. Make those things manifest. Hearers of God's word will be sharers of God's word. We live in a very dark world right now. And God's word honestly is the only light in it. So we must share it. God's word is the only thing that is going to make a difference. And it will. In fact, in Isaiah 55:11, God says, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." Our sharing God's word is an evidence. It's an evidence that we're really hearing it. Our lack of sharing God's word is an evidence that perhaps we're not. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. True hearers will be sharers. And of course, that goes right back to the gospel. That is the first thing those in the darkness of this world need to hear. They need to hear what Jesus has done in our life. They need to hear that as we recognized our sinful state, that we trusted in the Savior that God sent to justify us, to forgive us, and give us not only His righteousness, but eternal life. True hearers will be sharers. Secondly, this morning, true hearers will be growers in God's word. True hearers will be growers in God's word. And it will be evident. With virtually every plant that grows, what you see above the ground is a good indicator of what is going on underneath the ground. If you have a large tree in your yard, know that what you see above the ground is roughly equivalent to the root system that is underneath, okay? Your tree, as large or small as it is, there's as much going on below as there is above. In fact, we have planted some trees in our yard that have not done well at all, only to find out that it was a result of something hindering its growth underground, whether it be rocks, concrete, or just unhealthy soil. What's above the ground will reveal what's below. Well, in verses 17 and 18, these verses actually connect the lamp parable to the sower and the soil parable, in that just as light exposes what is happening in darkness, what is seen above the ground reveals what is unseen underground. And that is really what the last two aspects of that sower and soils parable was all about. But right here, it's connected to a parable about light. Look at verses 17 and 18. It says, "For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. Therefore, take heed how you hear, for whoever has, to him more will be given. And whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him." Now, in the sower and the soil parable, the growth of the plant or lack thereof is an indicator of what is taking place with the roots. And in a like manner, the Word of God reveals what is unseen. The Word of God reveals what is unseen. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, we learn this about the Word of God. It says there, "For the Word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." And then it continues and says this, because it is so powerful, because it is living, because it penetrates, it says this, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. There will be no secrets concerning how we are hearing the Word of God. Our roots are easily exposed by what is taking place above the ground. No matter what we may seem to know right now, our true understanding and the depth of our experiential knowledge in the Word of God will be revealed. That is why Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, in chapter 1, he said, "Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead." The point being here, since you have placed your faith in Christ, grow. Grow. You've got the roots digging down. Grow. The Word of God reveals what is unseen, and the Word of God reveals how we hear. "Take heed, therefore, how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him." Our evidential knowledge will reveal our roots. And it's both positively and negatively evident. What we truly experientially know about our God, whether we're growing or not, will be positively evident or negatively evident. It's positively evident in that the person who is growing in the faith is coming to know more and more the Savior's love. That person is displaying, or will begin to display, the fruit of the Spirit, and he will do so more and more as he grows. What's happening out here will reveal what's taking place in here. He's being transformed by the renewing of his mind through the Word of God. Ephesians 3 talks about the roots of God's love in our heart. It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. It will be positively evident. What's going on out here will show others what's going on in here, okay? We will become more Christ-like. It will become positively evident, or our lack of hearing will be negatively evident. That person who is not growing in the faith and not coming to know the love of Christ more and more, this is that person who, rather than displaying the fruit of the Spirit, is conforming to the world. They're going backwards, even perhaps, in their thinking rather than forward. They're being choked out, as we learned in the sower and the soils, by the cares and riches and pleasures, or even the false philosophies of this world, and they bring no fruit to maturity. They become less Christ-like, and that will be evident too. They will be the opposite of what Paul said in Ephesians 3. Their mind and heart will not be a place where Christ feels at home. In fact, this can especially reveal those who are not true believers at all. For we are to share, and Luke 16 says, He who hears you hears me. He who rejects you rejects me. And he rejects me, and he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. It will all come to light. It will be revealed. So take heed. Take heed how you hear. True hearers will be sharers of God's word. True hearers will be growers in God's word. And then lastly, this morning, true hearers will be doers of God's word. True hearers will be doers of God's word. Verses 19 through 21. It says, then his mother and brothers came to him and could not approach him because of the crowd. And it was told him by some who said, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. But he answered and said to them, my mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it. The reason I didn't do what Janine wanted me to do is because I didn't hear her. I was not listening. So I didn't do it. Now, I have never decided upon a sermon topic strictly because I knew that someone was going to be present that really needed to hear that truth. All right. I've never done that. However, I have often, as I've prepared messages, whatever it may be, as I prepared them, I thought, man, I really hope so-and-so is there because I think they really need to hear this. I think they might really benefit from this portion of God's word. And then that Sunday comes and they're there. They're there. And I'm excited that they're going to hear this message. But then a few weeks pass and I realize they didn't. They didn't. They were there. They heard, but they didn't listen, and they certainly didn't do it. Now, of course, I'm not talking about any of you. You guys always do exactly what God says, just like I do. Not. Yeah, I'm guilty too, and so it should not surprise me that when other people hear and but don't listen nor do, because that's what I do sometimes. Okay, well, James 1:22 actually commands this and illustrates it. He says, "Be doers of the word." And not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. He continues, he says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in the mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks in the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Well, true hearers will be doers of God's word. As the word of God shows us who we are, okay, who we should be, and convicts us in an area, we must seek to allow God's word to change us, to transform our lives. We must do what it says. Now, in our passage, Jesus, I don't believe, was trying to be disrespectful to his own mother or brothers, nor was he saying that they are not doers of the word, although at this point in time his brothers weren't. Okay? Rather, Jesus is making a point about being part of God's family. For just as family members should be obedient to the head of the home, members of God's family should be obedient to God. So obedience to God's word really is an evidence that we belong to his family. True hearers of God's word will be doers of God's word. In John 10:27, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." John 13:35, he said, By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Matthew 7:20, therefore by their fruits you will know them. Obedience to God's word is an evidence that we belong to the family of God. And obedience to God's word is rewarding. It is rewarding. Verses 17 and 18 not only speaks of one's knowledge of being revealed, but it implies future rewards. Excuse me. Not only speaks of one's knowledge being revealed, but also implies future rewards. Verses 17 and 18, it says, "For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. Therefore take heed how you hear, for whoever has, to him more will be given, and to whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him." Not only will these sorts of things be evident now, but there will come a day when not only will our knowledge be revealed, but even our work. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, it says, "For we must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15, it says, "Now if anyone builds on this foundation," that foundation, by the way, is salvation in Jesus Christ, the eternity that we are promised. And he says, "Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire." True hearers will be sharers of God's word. True hearers will be growers in God's word. True hearers will be doers of God's word. And if you'll cut that slide there, Tommy. In closing, we're going to see if you're hearers or not. All eyes on me, no looking at your notes. Complete these sentences. First, true hearers will be sharers of God's word. Second, true hearers will be growers in God's word. Third, true hearers will be doers of God's word. These are some evidences of how well we are hearing. And I pray that these will be things that will be evidenced to those around us in our life. If they're not yet, now is a time to start. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for Jesus teaching his disciples. Thank you for these two parables that we've heard over the past 2 weeks concerning really your word in our heart and the evidence of it. And Father, I thank you for these admonitions that we've received through the evidence this morning. And I pray, Lord, that as we perhaps evaluate ourselves, as we've evaluated ourselves as to which of those four soils we are, as we've evaluated ourselves this morning as to how well we are listening to you, I pray, Lord, that if adjustments need to be made in our life, we would make them now. If we haven't been in evidence through our outward lives, that we would be now, that your word would be implanted in our heart and it would change us. Thank you for it. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.